Nice high Krishna melody. No. Hare Hare Rama. Oops.
You had one?
No. Yes. But it must be on the right pitch.
Yeah,
I always keep on the center. Okay. Whose is this? Is this yours?
No.
Can we also this dice? yeah. Thank you. My dear devotees, we are listening each evening to a particular pastime of Krishna as it takes place during the period of the day which is related to the specific verse of Shastakam. Today on day 3 we are in the third chapter of Bhajan Rahasya, and at the third period of the day, it's the Purvana Lila, or the forenoon pastimes. It takes place from 8:24 to
10:48.
It's mid-morning. The excited cowherd boys are ready to leave the village of Vrindavan to go cowherding. These cowherd boys have top knots. The hairs are bound in this way. And in these top knots, there are peacock feathers. They hold flutes and sticks and ropes for tying the legs of the cows and the calves. Oh, they are so attractive and so attracted to Krishna. Let me tell you that every night they get up in the midst of the night because they dream about Krishna and think it must be morning now. So they go to Nanda Bhavan to wake up Krishna. When they knock at the door, Yashoda opens to them. Are, this is 1 o'clock in the morning. Where is Krishna? He's sleeping. Come back later. It's not yet morning. All these cowherd boys are simply so attached to Krishna that the night is a torture for them. Finally, when it's morning, they are asleep. all of a sudden they hear a flute before their house. And when they open their doors, they see it's Krishna waking them up. Krishna expands himself in as many forms as there are his cowherd boyfriends, and he personally comes and gets them from their houses. So at 8:24, the expert servants get Krishna ready for a day of cow herding. They rub fragrant oil on Krishna's exquisite body. They dress him in new cloth. And they put on a tilak on his head, which is called Bhakti Cheda. Then they paint little ornaments on Krishna's delicate sapphire-like body. My dear devotees, I was once in Tota Gopinath's temple in Jagannath Puri, and I saw a pujari there who for 1.5 hours painted the face of Gopinath with sandalwood. And we could chant our rounds while watching him. And from that day on, I often chant my Hare Krishna rounds, I imagine to paint Krishna's beautiful face with different ornaments. Finally, they put a certain ring on Krishna's finger. This ring has an inscription on it. I don't know if you know what is a signet ring. A signet ring. You can press it into a box. It's a ring like this. And on it, it has the letters Krishna. Krishna uses it when he sends messages to the gopis. There are many, many servants around Krishna. One servant carries the different types of flutes which Krishna will play during the day. So finally Krishna is ready and he holds in his... Do you want to know how he looks when he goes out for cow herding? He holds in his left hand a yellow cow herding stick called lagudi. And sometimes this cow herding stick has a red cordula which is intertwining it. So it's red, it's a yellow stick with a red rope around it. And in his right hand, Krishna always has a little lotus flower which he twirls around like this. With this he wants to show the beautiful Braj Gopi, see, I have your mind in my hand, just like I have this lotus flower in my hand. Balaram is also ready to go. He looks like a snow-covered mountain, so white. So imagine Krishna and Balaram are at the head of a huge procession with many beautiful, colorful friends. And right after Krishna walks a cowherd boy who has a greenish body. His name is Raktaka. He always is walking a little behind Krishna like a shadow. And you know, want to know what is his service for Krishna? He sings expert songs. Krishna is the Lord of love and the Lord of music, so he has musical servants. One cowherd boy has a little flask to carry for Krishna with his drinking water inside. Yeah, it's not exactly a thermos, but it is like a flask. Huh? No need for hot temperature. Rashka. And another servant has a little basket which is covered with a wet cloth, and inside the basket there are sweets. If one day Vrajarenu would be a servant of Krishna, I think Krishna would feed him sweets from this basket. So now, as Krishna comes down the road, my dear devotees, devatas gather in the sky and shower flowers upon him because he looks so beautiful. The little children who are merely able to walk, they're called the toddlers, are at the roadside, and with very indistinct voices they call to Krishna. Toddlers means these little children who can only walk a little, the very little, like 2 years old. With their soft voices they say, Jai, Jai. The elderly people who can give blessings stand at their doorways and bless Krishna by raising their right palms. Now at this moment Krishna takes a buffalo horn to his lips. The name of this buffalo horn is Mandra Gosha, or thunderous sound. It goes like sorry, it's a little better, yeah. Really like thunder. And it drives away all inauspiciousness from the atmosphere. When the gopi hear Mandra Gosha, their love just rises in their hearts. Do you want to know how Vrindavan looks for Krishna's eyes?
No.
There are dry cow dung cakes which are staked as high as mountains. And the smell in Braj village is a little bit like the smell which you can smell now if you inhale very deeply. We have burned some dry cow dung for you so that you get the idea how it smells. There are blossoming branches of the trees which provide a nice cooling shade. And the earth is very soft. Because it is mixed with cow dung, and therefore when Krishna walks about it, above it, his feet are caressed by this soft mixture of dust and cow dung. It's very pleasing for Krishna. So you can imagine, through this village of Braj, Krishna goes with all his cowherd boyfriends and the cows. The cowherd boys very playfully play on their flutes and their horns and their panpipes. Panpipes are, you know, yeah, like in Turkey they have this. So the devatas who see this procession, they lose all gravity and they shout very loudly. Jai Shri Krishna! Much louder. They are devatas. Jai Shri Krishna! Jai Shri Krishna! Jai, Jai! Yes. Now, Vrindavan, the land of Vrindavan, hears this music and this shouting of Jai. And at this moment, Braj Bhumi opens her heart like a lotus. And Krishna goes on these lotus petals. And just by understanding, and the land of Vrindavan understands, where does Krishna want to go? And then it expands the land, just like a lotus flower expands a lotus petal and brings Krishna there. Krishna thinks, I want to go to Kamyavan. Kamyavan. I want to go to Govardhan. Govardhan. It's like, you know, in some airports we have these, I can only say it, in lying down staircases, you know, these conveyor belts. You go on one of these conveyor belts and then it takes you somewhere. Yes. Ooh. and you, oh, I'm already there. Yeah, this is how the land of Vrindavan serves Krishna, so that within a day he can travel to all these otherwise quite distant places. And the cows, my dear devotees, they eat all the time. But Brajbhumi, in order to serve the Lord, immediately sprouts new green grasses. Because the land feels so ecstatic by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet that the grass grows almost like hair, which bristles and stands on end when you feel ecstatic emotions in your heart. So, everyone is happy about this musical procession. Except for Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the beautiful gopis. Yashoda is always saying, "Oh Krishna, why did you have to take your birth in the family of cowherd boys?" You have to go out now and tend the cows. Stay home. Let your servants go. The ground is so hard with thorns and stones, and your feet are so soft. How can your mother tolerate this? But Krishna says, no, mother. When I step on the stones, they melt. And the deer, they take their tails and they sweep the path so that there are no thorns. Then, but the wild animals, says Yashoda. And then she goes very close to Krishna and says, if you see a wild, ferocious animal near Govardhan, you should do one thing. You should pray to Lord Narayan to protect you. As Krishna listened to the words of his mother Yashoda, he had a very hard time to prevent a smile from blossoming on his lotus lips. May that suppressed smile of Lord Krishna protect all the three worlds. Finally, Krishna says, "Oh Mother, oh Father, please give me your permission to go. And Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj faint. Yes, go." And then they have to be carried home. They are so attached to Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I read to you. The Brajabasis, who were completely devastated themselves, picked up Nanda and Yashoda, who were lying on the ground, unconscious in separation from Krishna. Together these Brajavasis who did not go with Krishna out for cowherding return to their village, but their minds go with Krishna. For the rest of the day, these best of Krishna's devotees will move about and perform the day's duties like wooden dolls who move in a mechanical way. My dear devotees, when will that auspicious day come when our minds simply follow Krishna wherever he is and our material activities become mechanical and uninteresting for us? Krishna now is free. Mother and father are carried back to the village. Now he is amongst his friends. He dances. It's very important. He moves through, it is said, Vrindavan's ground is a playground for Krishna's lotus feet. So Krishna moves like this. It's called skipping. This is called skipping. Skipping. Little children who are very joyful move like this. Krishna plays his flute in very, very creative ways for his cowherd boys. And Brindadevi, the goddess of the forest, sends forth many animals who greet Krishna by dancing and making sounds, and the monkeys go. Very good, very good. Shukadev Goswami tells us the supermost meditation, which is on Krishna as he moves into the forest. He is dressed like a dancer who is about to enter the stage. There is the victory garland around his chest, which dances on his chest as he dances. And Krishna has one blue trumpet-shaped flower on his ear, and he changes from the left to the right ear, back and forth. At this time, he fills the holes of his flute with his melodious flute song. My dear devotees, if you can meditate like this about Krishna, the dancer in Vrindavan's forest, your meditation is perfect. All of Krishna's cowherd boys friends are also there following him. Krishna in this way enjoys the forest atmosphere. They play many plays. For instance, music plays. Music games, yes. Krishna stands with his flute like this without making a sound. Then the bees come. And Krishna says, "Ah, God, God, this is the pitch I will today play on." And then he plays same pitch as, and they just play like this. Sometimes Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of the clouds, Krishna would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd. And then Krishna would dance, and the cowherd boys would play cymbals. Sometimes they would throw to each other fruits like handball. They would jump around like frogs. And then they would bend over wells and call names into the wells, and then they would laugh about the echo. There would be a sound coming from the, Krishna would call into the well, and the sound would come from the well back, an echo. And Krishna then would call, "Who are you?" And the echo called back, "Who are you?" And everyone would just laugh. My dear devotees, we are often so much in anxieties and in worries. When anxieties come over you, think of Krishna playing with his cowherd boyfriends. What a wonderful scene. How careless. And as you hear about this and meditate about it, you lose your anxieties as well. Now, back in Yavat, Srimati Radharani is thinking only of Krishna. She feels the separation from her beloved, who is somewhere in the forest of Vrindavan. At this moment, a little girl who has been following Krishna and watching Krishna all the while starts to run away from Krishna in the direction of Yavat. This little girl is one of the many servants of Vrindadevi, the goddess of Vrindavan's forest. And she comes to Radha and says, "I have seen Krishna." When Radharani, who has just lost her consciousness, hears this news, "I have seen Krishna, bring news of Krishna," she comes back to her consciousness. My dear devotees, in an analogous way, we also have lost our consciousness in the material world. And our only hope to come back to Krishna consciousness is to hear the news of Krishna from the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who carry these news to us, like Shukadev Goswami, are celebrated as the highest welfare workers. Because with the nectar of Krishna's stories, they bring back life to us who are unconscious in this world. When someone loses his consciousness and lies unconscious and dead on the ground, you will take some nectar and you sprinkle that nectar over that person to revive him or her. I have done this sometimes to our devotees who have fainted in the heat of Mayapur. I took simply a bottle of Bisleri water and went like and very quickly they come back. So in the same way, we who have lost our consciousness will come back by the amrita or nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that we listen to Krishna Katha almost in a therapeutical way. And sing Krishna's names. Now, I want to end this katha, I would like to describe to you the sound of Krishna's flute as he plays his flute in the forest of Vrindavan. This sound of Krishna's flute has a very, very unusual effect. It is said that the inert entities like stones started to sing. And those animals who have voices like the birds fell silent. The river waves froze. And the immobile objects like land and hills started moving. You know, Krishna places his flute on his lotus lips. And then he tilts his head a little bit in this direction. Now, normally Krishna's body is very soft. And therefore, you would expect that the fingers would have little indents where they press on the holes while Krishna plays. But you must know that Krishna's fingertips have a little hard end, so no problem for him. And as he plays on his flute, the trees burst with blossoms. The flowers fade in their colors.
Fade,
yes. And they cry drops of nectar. The whole forest of Vrindavan shows ecstatic symptoms. And now Radharani hears all this information. The little girl says to her, "How can I describe how Mother Earth reacts to the touch of Krishna's lotus feet?" The marks of Krishna's feet are imprinted on the breast of Mother Earth. But the best, what is the best, says Radha? The best, says the Vanasakhi. Speak, says Radha. The best is a smell from Krishna's lotus feet. It's so sweet. How different from a human being. So, as Radharani hears news about Krishna, Krishna also is very, very eager to hear about Radha and then meet her. And in great love, Krishna begins to imagine Radha is everywhere. When he sees a golden lotus flower which is surrounded by black humming bumblebees, Krishna sees instead the golden lotus feet of golden lotus face of Radha surrounded by the black tresses of her hair. When he sees the peacock intoxicated with love and dancing for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna only sees the tail feathers of the peacocks and imagine this is the braid of Radha. Braid is... Krishna sees only Radha in the forest of Vrindavan. It's very difficult for him to interact with his cowherd friends. Finally, Krishna decides, "I must meet Radha." First, he goes with his cowherd boyfriends to the Kusum Sarovar and has them have a picnic. And then he says to the cowherd boyfriend, cowherd friends, "Are you not tired?" "No," they say. Then Krishna says, "But I am very tired." "Oh, we are also very tired," they say. "Let us sleep." So they lay down. And then Krishna secretly gets up. Just as a little sound of Krishna's dhoti, this one cowherd boy wakes up. "Oh, Gopal, where are you going?" Krishna says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sleeping. I'm just now sleeping. In his heart, his anxiety to meet with Radha increases unlimitedly. Krishna starts to make plans by taking the help of his trusted ministers, Vrinda, Dhanishta, Subal and Madhumangal. They see Krishna, who looks very despondent. Sad. What is with you, Syam Sundar? They asked, what is with you, Syam Sundar? Nothing. Then Subal touches the shoulder of Krishna. Something is in your mind. And then Krishna turns the other way and begins to cry. Nothing. Then Subal knows. His friend wants to see Radharani. Just at this moment, it's always in Vrindavan, at the right moment things happen. Tulasi arrives. Now, this means something in Vrindavan. I will translate this to you in Russian ways. When you see Dina Chaitanya, you know His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj must be somewhere here. So when in Vrindavan you see Tulasi, the trusted servant of Radharani, you know Radha is just nearby. So when Krishna sees Tulasi, his bodily hair stands up in ecstasy. And Tulasi brings a garland which has just been handmade by Radharani. And this best of the garland still carries the fragrance of Radharani's lotus hands. So Tulasi gives this garland to Madhumangal. And Madhumangal laughs and hangs it around Krishna's neck. And Krishna becomes totally dazed. Dazed means like confused. And he asks Tulasi, where is Radha now? At home. Krishna, but isn't Radha coming to the forest today? Tulasi? Yet. She has duties to perform on the order of Mother Yachila. What duties? Tulasi says, well, she was meant to churn butter from a pot of milk, but she was so absorbed in thoughts of you that she took a pot of water and tried to make butter from it. Krishna, what happened then? Tulasi said, Jatila became suspicious and locked Radha in the house. Oh, said Krishna, listen, do something to bring Radha here quickly. Ah, says Tulasi, this is not so easy, Prince of Vrindavan. Jatila is so complicated and it's very difficult to deceive her. Today she cannot come. She's locked in the house. So Krishna, who's misled by the teasing of Tulasi, fell into a deep depression. So to all the other in the meantime, Dhanishta is there and Vrindadevi, and they look at Tulasi. Don't make such jokes with Krishna. And they look at little Tulasi with eyes which are spitting fire. So Tulasi feels sorry. She is just now coming, Krishna. I was a little bit in a joking mood today. So at this moment, Krishna took two champaka flowers and said, give them to Radharani. Then he puts his cowherd boys to rest, finally. And then Krishna goes a secret path through the forest of Vrindavan to try to meet, which leads to Radhakund, the meeting place. Oh, who of you has visited Radhakund? Oh, many of you have visited. Aditi Dukaha, you have visited? What? Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, you have visited. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Just by bathing once in Radhakund, one can obtain the same love for Radha as Krishna. No, for Krishna as Radha has for Krishna. Krishna always goes to Radhakund when he feels separated from Radharani. And with flowers and incense, he worships Radhakund, begging this best of little lakes to arrange the meeting between him and himself and Krishna and Radha. It is said that only the best of sages, liberated souls and sadhakas who have developed the proper bhavas can see the transcendental form of Radhakund in their hearts. Who have the develop the proper bhavas, the spiritual emotions. When you go to Radha Kund and you are not in the proper devotional mood, you might see it as a material place. But many devotees have said, if you sit at the banks of Radha Kund and chant in an undisturbed way with a voice full of love, the holy names, Radha Kund reveals to you the divine couple Radha and Krishna. The lake acts almost like a magical mirror which can show you what you wish to see. So Krishna sits at the banks of Radha Kund, thinking intensely of Radharani. He gazes down the path through which he expects Radharani to arrive. In Radha's absence, Krishna felt each second to be like a millennium. He thinks very intently of his best of devotees. And this is how our Leela Katha ends for this evening. Tomorrow we will hear in a rather surprising way about the midday pastimes when Radha and Krishna meet at the banks of Radha Kund. But for now we see in our mind's eye Krishna looking in the direction of the path through which he expects Srimati Radharani to arrive. And we will leave Krishna almost now. I mean, no, we don't want to say it like this. Suddenly, in the distance, the forest of Vrindavan turns golden. This golden color moves. It seems the forest is illuminated by a walking golden sun. More we cannot tell you today. Hare Krishna. Sorry, Maharaj, you are right. You are right. I'm sorry. So we want to now sing about this pastime. very happy to hear Maharaj's poesy. It is like pearls thrown over a velvet cloth. You don't need to understand the pearls, you just see them and perceive them. In Krishna consciousness, we should allow that our feelings of appreciation and gratitude go to Krishna. We should allow ourselves to become conquered by the beauty and the charm of Krishna. Now we will end this wonderful day with nicely singing the holy names. Please do not think this is a program which is not important. We have come to this retreat to just sing and think of Krishna and do the most important things. By this, our attachment to Krishna, which has fallen into the world and transformed into attachments to non-Krishna things, will again become pure and manifest. To learn proper chanting the holy name really means to increase your attachment to Krishna. Therefore, in this holy name retreat, we don't just learn new skills. Love is not about techniques. It is about a rising of a feeling of genuine attachment. So, with great affection and love in our heart, we want to invite now our Aditi Dukaha to do this part of the evening.